you may have seen, is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
Actors, right? The road to fame and celebrity. All right, I get it. You've had an incredible life.
Aren't you sick of hearing about them?
Me too.
The only problem is, I'm one of them. Except I'm not famous. Oh, you've probably seen me. A bunch of times. I'm the guy with the information about the hero's dad. I'm the doctor that can't figure out what's wrong with one of the main characters. I'm the guy they just punched in the face during the interrogation. My name's Brian LaFontaine, and I'm a professional actor. Oh, and it's not just me. There's a ton of us.
We're the ones you don't hear about.
Yeah, we're the names that scroll by at lightning speed during the end credits. But there's way more of us than there are of them. We're important too, dammit. Because without us, they can't tell the rest of the story. So this is for all the movie and TV prostitutes, homeless people, drug dealers, cab drivers, cops numbers 2, 3, and sometimes 4, the pilots, the waitresses, and girl at party.
This is You May Have Seen.
Okay, so this didn't go at all as I had planned, and it was great. I mean, I prepare, I do homework, I research, and I know, it can go in any direction. But this guy, Drew Matthews, comes in and blows it all to hell, and it was fantastic. I had such a great time talking to this guy. We talk about pie, some guy named Randy, and what keeps you from being the successful version of yourself that you want to be. So don't go anywhere. It's about to get transparent.
Yeah, how was, it was okay this morning getting in?
Yeah, it was great. The, you know what? I'm okay with the rain and, sorry, it's my coping mechanism. When I... Right before I have to pee, it's an anxiety thing.
This Bailey. Okay, here we go. Drop. I know. Thank you. I'm leaving that in.
I'm definitely leaving that in.
So Drew Matthews, where may we have seen you? I don't know if we can beat an intro like that. I'm just going to go right into it.
Okay,
where may we have seen you?
You know what? If you watch a lot of local non-union commercials from years ago, there's just one that keeps airing all the time.
Oh, really?
That's the only thing everybody asks me about is, hey, are you the guy in that blah, blah, blah commercial? And am I allowed to say their name? I don't know if I can say their name. Anyway, let's not say
okay.
their name.
All right.
No, let's not because...
Okay, they don't deserve it.
Yeah.
They don't deserve the recognition.
Because that was before I was union. There's no residuals
There's
for that.
No, that's right.
And they shot 12 commercials in 2 days, 12 versions with my wife and myself because they could get us for a reduced rate.
Yep.
And that's all that airs. And when we were flying to Vegas... And the guy at Piedmont Triad International Airport, and he was like, "Oh my gosh, you're the dumb husband in that commercial." And I was like, yeah.
"I'm glad he added
yeah,
in that commercial."
He's patting me down and caressing my body.
Not just the dumb husband who's there with his wife. Oh, you're the dumb husband.
Oh yeah, you know my wife
in that
gets
commercial.
The smart one. Yeah, I'm like the guy that like rewires the like. I'm supposed to be like, oh, I fixed the fan, and I turn the switch on for the fan, and the garage door opens up, and my wife's like, "Oh, honey, better call this company," you know. But I want to say like, oh, you know, I play an attorney on Bluff City Law on NBC, or I've had 2 seasons with Lodge 49 on AMC. So I guess you could see me in that, but no one recognizes
no one recognizes
that.
You
no,
for that.
They don't recognize
well, Bluff City Law is a new show now. Is that
it? Is new?
Did you just do the one episode, or
I've
you
got
going
another
back?
One coming out?
Oh, nice!
Yeah,
good for you, man.
Yeah, I think it was just easier for them to bring me and just say I rep another company.
That's great.
Yeah, so I'm always
cool
on the,
for
on the
you
defense or whatever. Yeah,
and is Lodge 49 is that still on?
I think the season might have ended right now as of. I mean,
the show
season 2.
Oh, the season, but the series is still going.
But the series is still going,
okay.
And I have no clue what I do in that show. I've been on it for 2 seasons. I don't know who I am, and what I do. If you look at my IMDb, it suggests I'm a background. You know, like
right.
You know how the background artists are always like, I was patron number 7.
Oh yeah.
And so it just says laser pointer.
That's a great one.
Because that was the nickname that Jim Gavin, the show creator, he gave for me, but And then it's just never changed. It's just never changed for two
seasons. And they
never
refer to you in the show at all by name. No one ever
calls
me. Hey, so-and-so.
Hey, Randy.
Right.
Like, no one
right.
says that. It's, they're always like, it's that guy. You know? Anyway.
So, for everybody listening, I am talking to Drew Matthews. And yes, as he stated, you may have seen him on Bluff City Law as Joe Wells, new show on NBC. Yeah. Lodge 49 as Laser Pointer in Miracle Workers, The Resident. How'd you book The Resident? Nobody gets booked on The Resident. That's like everyone's white whale.
Well, let me give you the algorithm. You know what the real algorithm is? I'll tell you.
Tell me.
This is the algorithm that worked for... A Sleepy Hollow or House of Cards or any of those
right.
other things. You get two auditions uh-huh. that are due that you have to record on the same day. You have to
okay.
self-tape two auditions. All right. So that's your setup.
Okay.
Two's the minimum.
Okay.
And then you find one that you are super interested in and dying to book. And the other one, you say, let me get through this one really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Let me not put any resistance into it. Let me just knock this out. And play
right.
a very standard,
right.
you know, just don't make any creative choices. And then you don't book the one that you cared about. And then you effortlessly book
sure.
the one that you said, let me not get artistic and creative.
Right.
And just,
let me just do it.
Let me do the one take and
right.
I'm out so I can focus on this one.
That's going to change my career.
That's your algorithm right there.
Is not to care.
It was, no, and I love any... booking, of course. So
of
I'm
course.
Saying that all in jest.
I know that.
In 7 years from now, that this comment will come up as I'm
right.
trying out for Saturday Night Live, and then they'll remove me because I
yes.
didn't care about other people. No. There is some truth to that, I think.
Though. Oh, certainly.
You know, like the ones that... Because I work at a self-taping studio as
right.
well. And so we tape a lot of people with thousands of actors a year. And it never fails. It's the people that really need to book something... don't, and the people
right.
that almost are, and it's, you can be inspired by that or become infuriated by that, but, and I've chosen to be inspired, but it's, yeah, you can have zero resistance and get pretty far, it seems.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about that because I choose to be infuriated. I choose the
okay.
opposite. I go the infuriate,
well,
and I don't, and that doesn't work for me. It really, it doesn't work, but for some reason, I'm holding on to it.
You know,
because
well,
I know
I'd love
different.
To talk about that, because especially I work with mostly children, and
oh, okay.
You know my friend Lee Spencer.
Of course I do.
And he, and you've had him on the show.
Yep.
Brilliant actor,
mm-hmm.
and just a really great guy, and so he helps me with the adults, but so I get to kind of work with the children, and I've had a lot of fun seeing and having it exemplified how this lack of resistance is getting... kids on set a lot more than I hate to say it, than someone trying really hard.
Sure. Well, I mean, okay, yeah. First of all, when you say kids, is there an age range?
Yeah, I started specializing in just working with 7 to 9 year olds.
Wow.
And then I just started, and I love
'cause that's
kids.
Pretty small.
Yeah, you know, I'm a bit of a show off, and I like doing funny voices
okay.
and things like that. And
right.
so I kind of was drawn to working with younger children that needed comical inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could kind of be myself with them. And,
yeah.
And I'm not a very big guy. So obviously I felt like a giant around a 7-year-old.
There
so
you go.
Good for my ego.
Because you knew you could just push them if you wanted to.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I could. Yeah. Get over here, Randy. Gonna be the name I use all day. Randy, I don't know any Randys, but yeah, no, I love working with them. But I started recognizing maybe in like 2013 and on, just we started keeping a track record of how many people tape and what are they and their ratio of auditioning to a callback or a book off tape or
right.
director session, whatever, and just kind of figuring out like where this was all headed and could we go back, and we saved everything on external hard drives.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would go back and look at it and just, I wonder what was there. What was there that got it? And a lot of the things, I mean, obviously a look you can't control,
right.
Someone's voice you can't really control.
Right.
And there was a lot of energy, a lot of personality that I think was a driving force.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I could be wrong. You could challenge me on this, and that's okay. I think kids get a pass a lot of times too. You don't have to have a resume, as a child, because they're not expecting a lot. They're like, man, you need at least this many credits for us to take you seriously.
Right.
Have you paid your dues?
Yes.
But they don't expect a child to do that a lot of times. They're looking for, they're almost expecting to find a fresh face.
Right.
So that creates a lot of optimism when you start coaching children.
Yeah.
So they're not trying to go, they're not arguing for limitations when you work with them. Parents might get in the way.
Right.
Parents are not allowed to watch us work with them or sit in the room, or they can go watch it on a monitor in another room, but yeah.
But clearly you've taken stuff away from that is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you've started, or not okay. started to, but you've...
Can I get real transparent
do
with
it.
You?
Yeah.
So I... who wants to hear my story? Okay.
Who
really cares? People care about themselves. They don't care about anybody else. So in the summers when I was a kid, and I'm thinking like third grade, we spent the summers, and my grandparents on my mom's side, they were hog farmers and they had a farm. And so we would spend the summers working on the farm. And my grandmother, she would say a phrase that if you didn't work hard at it, it's not worth having. Mm-hmm. If you didn't sweat for it, if you didn't sacrifice. And so, you know, that's kind of ingrained in me. And probably for most people 35 and up, I would assume, you know, there's this belief system, this dogma that you got to work really hard for it. And if you didn't, you know, then it's
right.
There's no value to it. Now, so I decided that anything I was going to do, I was going to work incredibly hard at it. And I was going to become the best at it. I had an underdog mentality. And I think maybe in like 2015, I had this epiphany. Maybe it was 2016. And this epiphany was when I started booking some things.
Right.
Everybody would, well, you know what it's like. You book one thing, or someone comes to you and they're like, why aren't you on The Walking Dead? Wouldn't it be great, Drew, if you just got on LA?
Right.
Wouldn't it be great if you did that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that would be great. Let me just manifest that real quick. It's a coping mechanism.
Keep going.
Yes. But I decided that when I started working and booking some co-star roles or just little, you know, building up that body of work, that most of the people or acquaintances or even friends or family members, they were just like, oh, well, when are you going to do something for real? So I realized... that a lot of people might not have respected how difficult it was just to get a one-liner or a three-sentence role on House of Cards. Like, how hard was that? Or, you know, just doing the audition, then going to DC for a callback just for three sentences and buying your own hotel and driving back. You know, they didn't really get that. So I realized that when I worked really hard for it, they still didn't, there was a disconnect. They still didn't respect how hard I'd worked for it. Yeah. And so I decided, what if I stopped working hard at it? And I don't mean like I didn't take classes or train and I still do that. I didn't mean, you know, I didn't self-care and educate. I'm not saying that. But what if I stopped sacrificing or telling the story that I was going to sacrifice for it? What if I stopped broadcasting to everyone and the universe that maybe this could be a fun, exciting journey full of magnificent things that were inexplainable to someone who just wasn't going to be in the know, you know, like, because if it came easy or came difficult, I still had the people from high school that still just thought they still didn't take it seriously. So I figured I might as well just have fun at it. And I think I decided at that point in time, I was going to stop sacrificing and playing this starving artist mentality because they just didn't, nobody was getting it anyway. And it was just overwhelming me and it was too much on my shoulders. So I decided I was going to have to make a decision to let go of that and stop preaching as a teacher to kids, or even when I started working with adults, stop preaching that you have to sacrifice for it. Now that's a radical concept because I don't think acting teachers want to do that. And the biggest thing that we have for our egos as an instructor, or for me as like a camera technique guy, or when I work with children, the problem that we have is everybody out there, and when I say out there, I just mean the average public, thinks anyone can be an actor. They would never question my uncle, who's a successful attorney.
Right.
They were like, oh, of course you went to school for that. Of course you did that. Right. That's a no-brainer. But we don't get that same as an actor. I could do that. I mean, how many times do people come in to our studio and just like, I want to be famous. I want the money.
Right.
How fast can you get me on TV? And I used to be just super offended by that. And I would immediately talk about how hard it was. And I remember a lot of different acting studios here in North Carolina that where I live, and just going in, checking out other acting facilities and studios, and the teacher being somewhat this guru, mm-hmm. or like, you, I need their approval.
Sure.
They're a god, they're a deity in class, and until they say the scene is good,
right,
you don't move on. What can you do for me? Why should I let you into my program, Drew?
Right.
Well, but when I let go of the sacrifice, and I was going to stop telling everybody how hard I was working at it,
yep.
And I decided I would start talking about the fun. As a teacher, I realized, well, then I'm also going to have to accept people that do believe this is fun, and not spend all of my energy preaching to them every night in class how it's impossible to make it. And that was hard for my ego. That's a hard sell,
mm-hmm.
if you've spent, you know, 30 some years of my life with my grandmother's thoughts,
sure.
that if you didn't work hard and sweat for it, it's not worth having. That was probably a year or 2 year process for me to be okay with someone walking into our training facility and saying, I want to be famous. And instead of me saying, ha ha ha, no, it's, you only book one out of every 88 auditions,
right.
according to the union.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Instead of saying that, just saying, well, let's talk about what it is you really want.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, why do you want to be famous? Because I think you can have that. I think that can come. I mean, I don't know your talent level.
Right.
That would take time for me to figure it out. I could probably teach you technique. I don't know what energy, personality, or spirit you have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know that. So let me invest some time with you. Let me invest some time with you, and then let me kind of figure out what it is you're really after. Maybe acting is something you're after, but maybe it's not. Maybe you're just looking for a compliment. Maybe you're looking for a way of expressing yourself. So I think there might be maybe some other things. So our studio has really evolved, and ironically, in teaching people that it's okay to come in with whatever belief system you have,
mm-hmm.
and let's see if we're compatible. We've had far more bookings than we've ever had, just off tape at our studio with our students, an insane amount of bookings by me deciding, let me be a cooperative component with whatever I think you're searching for.
Right.
Because, you know, this year I've now seen, we've had 4 series regulars out of our studio this year
alone.
In 2019, yeah, 4 of them. And they were all under the age of 20.
Wow.
And I'm trying to think, you know, if I could say, I was making a joke about the algorithm. But you want to know what those kids did?
Tell me.
I'll tell you what they
did.
Yes,
I do want to know.
I had, and we're talking about, kids that now need financial advisors.
Whoa.
We're talking about having to get them incorporated, how to get lawyers, you know, to deal with contracts. We've really had to start, and I didn't know about any of that stuff, to be quite honest, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just doing my little day player.
Right.
And so, which was also tough for my ego, because then when they were like, hey, what do I do with this 7-year contract for Netflix and blah, 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 you know, and I'm like, I don't know, you know? Okay. So our first kid, I taped him over the summer. He was 12. He was coming from summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really know his lines very well because he was having such a great time at summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And his mom dropped him off, and our parents know not to sit in and get involved too much. You know, it confuses the kids. And so the mom dropped him off, and she's like, I'm so sorry. We just haven't prepared.
Mm-hmm.
He's just been having fun at camp. So we tried working on the scene. It was just like 2 scenes for a 30-minute show. We didn't know it was going to be a series regular role. He just said, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm sorry, Mr. Drew. I want to get back to camp. I'm having fun there. And it just popped into my head, ask him about why it's so much fun. let's just talk about that. So our preparation, we spent maybe 15 minutes with him just talking to me about why camp was so much fun.
Right.
The friends he was making, the new skills he was learning and that were giving him confidence. He had finally learned to do something specific with like tying ropes or something like that.
Sure.
I don't know what it was. Maybe I'm making that up.
Okay.
And just, he must have rampaged. He must have vented for like 15 minutes about all the wonderful things that he was currently experiencing. And almost to the point where he didn't care about the audition. He cared about being in that moment. But it didn't have anything to do with his character.
Right.
Okay? There was not like a, how can I connect with this character?
Right.
He was super excited about life and what he was experiencing. And I just said, hey man, let's just pick a couple of tactics. What are you going to do to me, the off-camera reader? And let's just let your energy do its thing. Now that spits in the face of my mom, who is, you know, taught musical theater and, mm-hmm. and Stanislavski and stuff like that,
right.
Even on a collegiate level, you know, and so, because we didn't do any of those artistic things. He was literally almost like buzzing with excitement about where he was with his current mm-hmm. life. He wasn't looking for a booking.
Right.
He wanted to get back and play with his friends that he had made. And it was the most effortless performance of all time. Did he look at his sides? Yeah. He looked at his sides a few times.
Right.
But he was super engaged with me and all that. And he did it and he was like, cool, can I run back out to the car? I think I'm done. And, you know, didn't have it. He had no resistance with that. And that was a boom, booking and now series regular on,
wow.
on Comedy Central.
Wow.
We had three other girls and two of them got series regulars for Netflix and one got a new one that's going to a Marvel
wow.
thing.
Wow.
That's a game changer. We're not really allowed to talk much about that.
Right.
So for all of those, I learned another valuable lesson. I'd been saving money to go and live in LA for a summer. You know,
yep.
you know how we're all told to
yeah.
do the LA or the New York thing?
Yep.
It's kind of a very popular dogma. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm telling you, man, I had a coach tell me a couple years ago, and the guy who actually owns the studio name, our studio's in studio, and he owns it. His name's Dane Northcutt. And he said, you know, Drew, I look forward to the day when you get to the point that you'll believe you're good enough where someone will hire you. They will fly you there instead of you, you know, prostituting
right.
yourself for it.
Right.
And I was like, whoa, okay. I was not where I could receive that when he said that to me years ago. But now working with children, man, I've seen people that just live in little small towns here,
mm-hmm.
building up their energy,
mm-hmm.
preparing, setting their intentions, not thinking about what's at stake. That's hard to do as you get older.
Sure.
Because we have too much evidence. We have too much evidence. Like we know there's
yes.
a mortgage or there's
yes.
a bill. Like we got
yes.
too much information.
Yes.
We have too much reality.
Right.
So I envy that about children. Well, one girl for a series regular for Netflix, she was living in Atlanta doing it. So proud of her. She, for 1 month, I said something in class and I didn't know that she would do it. And I made them create focus wheels in class. And a focus wheel is, it's like a pie chart, if you will.
Sure.
Okay. And in the middle, you put something that you want.
Uh-huh.
I want to be a series regular. Okay.
Okay.
And I was inspired to do this from Abraham Hicks, a motivational speaker.
Okay.
Okay. I made her, I said, well, how about we're going to do it just once? And I said, now I dare you to do this for a month, you know. And what you do is you write what you want. And then outside, you have all these little 12 pieces of the pie. So the middle of the pie is kind of what you want in 12 pieces. And what you do is you write down things that you currently believe and that are currently true positive statements that reinforce you're actually on your way. It's motivational speaking.
That's
you
incredible.
Know, there we go. So she would write down something like, I want to be a series regular. Now, the reality was she'd only auditioned 4 times in the last 3 years for her agent.
Wow.
Okay. She didn't have a single booking.
Uh-huh.
Not even a commercial.
Wow.
Not a non-union, not a student film, nothing. But she would write things like, I love to travel. Traveling makes me feel free. Well, she believed as a series regular, traveling was a way of that will come with it.
Right.
I love working with someone who knows what they're doing, like a director, because she felt very safe working with someone who could direct her. Mm-hmm. She loved the thought of a per diem. Who doesn't?
Yes, right.
She loved, I love being in a new place where I can try new food at different restaurants. I love learning on set. Now, you know, that was a little bit more of a wishful thinking because she hadn't actually been on a set. But mm-hmm. she started thinking of these, and I don't really know what all of her specifics were. What mattered was that she was really digging deep for herself. I love practicing lines. I love the art of preparing. Mm-hmm. I love telling somebody's story. And she just did that. Okay, well, doggone it, that girl convinced herself mm-hmm. in a month that she was a star. And when she got that was her first audition of the year.
Wow.
2019. It was like February, March of this mm-hmm. year. First audition of the entire year. She'd only had, like I said, three or four for the past few years. She got it and she walked in and she said, this is it. This is the one. And I am scared when people say that
to me.
Because I'm like, what kind of pressure?
Right.
What are you doing?
Don't poke
the
bear.
This is the one. She said, this is the one. So let's just, and so she directed me. I've never seen her that calm, that in control. She was always a quiet girl. She'd been training with us for maybe like 4 or 5 years. And she used to come to our little Saturday classes where we'd have fun. And then she just started working her way up. And she had worked hard. So I'm not saying she knows a lot about acting. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything on set they would throw at her. Because she'd been training for years. But she walked in and she was glowing. There was this radiance to her. She didn't have one hint of doubt that part was for her. And she did it. And I remember going home and telling my wife, I was like, you know, that was the best she's done. That was a pretty good audition. That mm-hmm. was pretty good. I've never seen Anna do that before. That was good. And I didn't think anything about it. And then about 2 weeks later, she texted me and she said, they're sending me to go have a screen test with Netflix. And I was like, they're sending you? You know, she's like, yeah. Well, she lives in like Pinehurst,
right.
Southern Pines, North Carolina. They're, you know, she travels an hour mm-hmm. or whatever to come and train for years. And you know, and I was like, I'm over here just like getting this. Is this the new reality for me? Is that, you know, the next girl that did the Marvel thing? Not one credit. That was her first audition ever.
Right.
Now, can I be honest with you?
Yes, please.
I struggled when I went home that night, man.
I bet. I'm struggling right now.
They flew her to LA.
Mm-hmm.
Flew her for her screen test.
Mm-hmm.
They flew her to London. And it was Carmen Cuba was the casting director for that. She was like, "Who's been teaching you?" And I was trying to be like, "Well, maybe I could pat my ego, like, well, at least I'm the teacher,
right? You got to be doing something, right?"
Now, well, here I am arguing for a limitation, but why shouldn't she get that role? What is wrong with me that I'm a grown ass man?
Yes,
struggling that a 17, 18 year old girl with her first audition. What am I trying to prove? Why am I trying to knock her down? I really had to go home and ask myself. Now, I struggled for a couple of days with that. I hate to admit that, but just between you and me.
No, please.
I remember, you know, and my wife was like, this is the complete opposite thing you're preaching. You should, you know, when you're in class, you're telling people, yes, it could happen tomorrow. It could happen to any of us. It could come out of anywhere.
Right.
So what is wrong? So I really had to reflect with myself. We've had a lot of success this year. And yet here's my little boy that spent summers on the hog farm saying, you know, and I'm having to make a choice. I'm going to be inspired by the fact that anything wonderful and phenomenal is going to happen to you, to me, because what I really said, and I was just spending some quiet time with myself. I've been like meditating for like a couple of years now, just trying to control my anxiety.
And yep.
My mind just kind of goes a little berserk from time to time.
You don't say. I don't know anything about that.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So
yes,
I, you know, I've had to figure out how can I get a handle on why my brain doesn't slow down. I think that's why I love improv work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I get like, you know, where my wife, when she does improv work, she says she hated it because her brain would freeze and mm-hmm. But mine would give like 20 different solutions. And so I just had to figure out which one of these 20 things, responses do I want to take? But so, and sitting still and just kind of being with myself and thinking about all of this success that's come to people with ease that haven't had the things that I've been forced to believe that you shouldn't have it unless you've earned it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, first off, let me say, I don't know what they've experienced in their life.
Right.
So maybe they, you know, they do deserve it. Maybe, yes. I don't know what traumas these kids have had or what they've experienced. So who am I to say, well, just because it's your first audition, you know, but I really just sit still and come to grips and say, there's not one pie and she got a piece of the pie. Therefore, there's only 12 slices of the pie. This girl gets it. There's only 11 left.
Right.
Therefore, Drew Matthews doesn't have it. I only got 11 tries now to get a piece of that pie.
Mm-hmm.
That is flawed logic, my man. That is very flawed. That is deadly. That is a virus. That is bad logic. And I've had to say, she just made her own pie. There are unlimited amounts of pies. And as soon as I get that, I don't know about any other actor, but as soon as Drew Matthews figures out that there are unlimited pies and that I create my own pie, then the world is... I'm setting off. And that's a thing I'm still working on. So let me not say like I got it. It's easier for me to teach it and it's hard to do it and receive it. So
more with Drew Matthews in just a minute. You're listening to You May Have Seen, proud member of the Queen City Podcast Network powered by Ortho Carolina. There are so many great podcasts on the network and they're adding new ones all the time, showcasing great stories by great people and shining a spotlight on the Queen City. You can find them all at queencitypodcastnetwork.com. Shoutouts! I'm going to shout out some of the amazing young actors that my guest, Drew Matthews, has been working with. You May Have Seen's can be any age, like Trey Stokes, who's been cast as a series regular in Robbie, a new series for Comedy Central. Madison Bailey, who you can see as Kiara on an upcoming Netflix series called Outer Banks. Annalise Judge, she'll be showing up in a new series called Sweet Magnolias. And Haley Bush, who's been cast as a series regular in a new untitled Marvel comic show. Incredible, incredible stuff by the young folks who landed these roles, and the guy I'm talking to now, who helped guide them to this amazing level of success. So here's more with Drew Matthews.
But every one of these kids, they had trained.
Yeah.
Okay, so now all of them had trained. Mm-hmm. I haven't taped someone who's never trained and never didn't know how to do a self-tape.
Right.
And I haven't experienced that. Now, I hope there's some person out there who can experience. We've probably heard stories of someone just being discovered in the mall. You know those stories back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, oh, I just saw James Gandolfini fishing
in the grocery store. Pitt.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So those things happen out there too. But, you know, I've had to really say, why do you believe there's a limited number of opportunities? Evidence is suggesting there are phenomenal, unlimited number of opportunities for all of us. And but I do think that's a mindset. It's kind of like I wanted to, maybe a year ago, I was thinking about buying a Tesla. Right? I don't know how I got on
that. Good for
that.
You.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Let's say it was because I was cost conscious and not because it would go like 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds.
Right.
I don't know what inspired me to look up a Tesla one day, but I started thinking of Teslas, right? And then all of a sudden, so I'm researching it and I'm watching a YouTube video, which then leads to another YouTube video of Teslas. And I'm, oh, man.
You're going down the rabbit hole.
Dude, and I'm in it.
Yeah.
And my wife is like, oh, you're watching another Tesla video. My wife is lovely, by the way.
I'm sure she is.
But she has got all of this like heightened sense of reality. She's very self-aware. So she's a great fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm always working on it. And but then I started noticing, living in Greensboro, how many Teslas were there because I was open to researching Teslas.
Mm-hmm.
And I started seeing Teslas everywhere. Everywhere. It's like when I got my motorcycle license and I didn't know much about being a motorcyclist, but then I started noticing motorcyclists everywhere. They were always there.
Mm-hmm.
I just wasn't open to seeing them. And there's a part of the brain. I had an actor that I was taping and he was, his name is Nick Hughes and he's like 6'8" and he was professional bodyguard and for like Bon Jovi or something like that. And,
mm-hmm.
and he was part of the French Foreign Legion. And he was talking about how there's a certain part of the brain that recognizes when you start studying something, your brain is open to always seeing somehow like a magnet wherever it is. So if you talk about red cars, you talk about a Tesla, you talk about a motorcycle,
right.
all of a sudden your brain connects with the subconscious and starts seeing it where it is. Mm-hmm. And they need that for soldiers, because as they're fighting or going into unknown terrain, if you've researched it, you're more likely to see obstacles, problems, or even blessings. So
sure.
So, but now, what if we did that as an actor? What if we started seeing that they're really, you don't have to book from an agent. Like, in other words, I don't need the agent just to get me the audition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's statistically how it seems to work, but we're finding, we had a girl that booked series regular for a soap opera by submitting herself on Breakdown Services or Actors Access.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't, I was like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
I mean, so all these things that we're starting to notice, I guess because we're getting open to seeing that there are more possibilities out there. I don't know why we went on that direction this whole time, brother.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know
me?
How that has... I'm sorry, man, but...
don't
that's
apologize.
That's way more exciting than talking about me. But I think there's... I don't know why. I'm sorry, I went down like this long rant.
That's one of the most
self-aware and
amazing
realized
things
monopolized the
I've
whole conversation.
Ever heard before in my life. I don't know what to do now. You've got me
hey, man, look. Let me tell you something. My mind has been blown from working at the studio. It all happened when I decided I was no longer going to torture someone and make them live the journey that I had had. I remember working on a film one time. It was a Kate Beckinsale film. It was called Disappointments Room, and they filmed it in like Greensboro or something like that. Okay, I didn't get a role in that part. Okay, I read for a role. I did not get a role, but they asked if I would be the body double. Okay. And I remember talking, so I was just a body double for the lead guy, right? And it was invaluable for me. It was tough on my ego. It was invaluable for me because I wanted to be like, I know how to work and crew, you know,
right.
Talk to you a certain way when you're, you know,
Anyway.
And I remember hearing somebody on set, a very prominent person in leadership position on set. And they said, well, we don't like to hire people if you haven't been doing this minimum of 6 years, because you got to pay your dues. It took me 6 years before I got my first project, so I don't hire anyone. And I was like, okay, now, so therefore he is only going to attract people in his life that have had a minimum of 6 years of work. Mm-hmm. I'm not a good fit to work with those kinds of people on that project. But a lot of teachers have that mentality. I suffered this way. I went to LA. Mm-hmm. I went to New York.
Yep.
Therefore, that's the journey. But there's no thing. It's, you know, the guy who got discovered for doing the voice of Super Mario, if I know my story correctly, was discovered on a beach. He was relaxing. He was taking care of himself. I mean, he didn't even know what he was doing. That was just something that he thought would be fun. You know what I'm saying? Now, I read that somewhere on the internet. I don't know if that's 100% accurate. but what I'm saying...
Everything on the internet is true.
It's true. Yes.
It's true.
So, but I really had to ask myself, stop forcing everyone to study the way that you do. Stop forcing everybody to go through the same life experiences. It's okay that they haven't dealt with childhood trauma like you did. It's okay they weren't bullied like you were. It's okay they got it easier than you. Maybe you can learn from this 8-year-old a little bit more. But anyway.
But I mean, I think that's the whole point, though, is that or the struggle is that we're all just trying to find the answer.
Yeah.
And we're looking to see who's got it, because I don't have it. You feel like you don't have it. I don't have the answer. Who's got the answer? Someone has to know. So, I mean, we all carry that burden. I mean, don't you think?
It's heavy.
It is heavy. It's terribly, terribly heavy.
What do you do to lessen that? What do you do to stay inspired and prevent burnout as an actor? Like, what do you personally do?
Look at you! Look at you flipping the interview around on me.
Hey, man!
Look,
I need advice.
No, I need it from you. You and I have never met before.
No,
I have been waiting for this day because we have people in common who have said, talk to Drew. Drew's a great guy. Talk to Drew. We're very similar in type. Yeah. There's a little bit of an age gap, but we're very so. And it's like you'd think that we would be best buds.
I think we are now. We are now.
I have no idea. Like, I'm learning from you right now.
Hey,
is the most amazing conversation I feel like I've ever had.
Okay, this is
because I was going to ask. I actually have here in my notes to ask you that same exact question that you just asked me. What do you do? Because me. I sit in the dark and cry. I mean,
I've done that.
I have
I know what it feels like to have that drive back. You know that drive back from that audition when you have, I should have said this, I should have done that. I know what it feels like to be so overwhelmed with my emotions. And by emotions, I mean, I've got stage fright.
Yeah.
I'm scared.
Yes, because you're afraid you're going to suck.
I put on a great show. Right. Yeah, I put on a great show, man. When you watch me teach or stuff like that, after about 10 minutes, my body calms down and it finally relaxes.
Sure.
And I can be a little bit more myself. But those first 10 minutes. Now, if the audition takes less than 10 minutes, you might not get to see Drew.
Right.
You might not see me.
Right.
Because I'm the guy shaking. My paper is shaking as I'm holding my sides. Oh, and I'm scared that you're going to see that my hand is shaking. My heart is... I don't know why my body reacts the way it does. But tremendous stage fright. I quit acting in high school because of panic attacks, just freaking out. And I was only doing theater. My mom did musical theater, so I had to do a lot of musical theater. And then I just had this... I don't know what came over me. I know what came over me. I needed to learn about who I really was, and I didn't have resources to talk to a therapist or a counselor about it. Like it's okay now.
Right.
Do you know how many of my kids are like, yeah, we have a therapist to talk to. And I'm like, good for you. Yeah. Now, when in the 90s, if I said that, it was kind of taboo, right? But, I didn't know who I was. I cared so much about what somebody else thought of me. That was a driving force.
Yes. Yes. Every day.
Yeah.
Still struggle with it.
And because... I'm a people pleaser, and that just took over my ability to be free and to let go. And I don't really, I do know. That was a 10-year journey to have the guts to come back and perform again. I realized telling stories was more valuable than the fear that was making me almost throw up in the backstage because I just was hyper scared.
Right.
And afraid of what might come out if I was really me. But you know, you listen to me talk in class and you're going to be like, man, this guy is so great. And they don't know I'm the one like hiding in the bathroom before I go film a scene of just like, you know, or could I write a line? The line I'm forgetting, can I write it on the inside of my hand? How can I sneak a line in here? And that's not a way I want to live. No. It's not a way I want to live.
Right.
And so I started listening to this guy. I stopped listening to acting teachers maybe a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And I started listening to neuroscientists or people that had like a Dr. Joe Dispenza or I think it's Bruce Lipton? I don't know.
All right.
I'll have to get back.
We'll look him up.
Anyway, Bruce Lipton. Anyway, they talked about something that was very interesting. And I didn't know this. So I'm not a neuroscientist. I do not have a degree in science. I have one in poli-sci, but that's not the same thing. Let me tell you what I've heard several scientists talk about, okay? And let's see if we can come up with a solution for actors. Let's do that. I want to help people overcome the things that I'm... Because, you know, my secret objective is if I can figure out how to help you overcome it, maybe that'll help me overcome it.
Yes, that makes total
sense. So maybe that's
a
selfish thing, but you'll succeed first.
Why shouldn't you get something out
of it? Okay, so a couple of things. Well, one thing that I heard, and then I'll go back to Bruce Lipton and Joe Dispenza.
Okay.
Get your mind ready to be blown.
All right.
So my parents were like super Christian conservative, and I was always in church, forced to go to church. Mm-hmm. I don't really do that now. That's not how I associate myself, but I love all faiths and belief systems. Now, I always heard the golden rule. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Mm-hmm. And I had somebody challenge me on that belief system, but they challenged me in a good way. Now, I don't want this to come across as blasphemy, okay?
Okay.
But they suggested that the golden rule, when Jesus talked about it, and the golden rule is almost in every book of faith, by the way.
Okay? Yes.
It's written differently, but from the Bhagavad Gita to any all these other stuff, okay. Or the Quran. Okay, so... But what if the golden rule wasn't do unto others you would have them do unto you? What if that meant, what is your dream? Now, if your dream is to be a storyteller and to be compensated to be a storyteller in front of a camera lens, that's a cool dream. For the ultimate golden rule to work out, then find somebody else with that same dream and help them achieve it first. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If there's something that you want to figure out in your life, then help someone else conquer it first, and then you become the source of positivity And you have then become like the satellite beam. Because what's been awesome about working with our kids, I know now,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know about buyouts and contracts
sure.
and what $57,000 per episode things
yes.
meant. I didn't
yes.
know that. Okay. And so I've had to learn that. What's been beautiful about helping someone else achieve their dream first has been I actually have information now. I became educated by helping some, well, let me call an attorney.
Right.
Let me call, you know, I remember my wife had to have phone calls with Viacom to help. Let's figure out how we
right.
can do it because some of the agents didn't even know how to process that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what if that's the real golden rule is if there's something you want to accomplish, maybe you help another person do it. And that takes a lot of pressure off of yourself. And you become really powerful in their eyes in a good way. Not in an egotistical way.
Right.
Now, the other thing about studying neuroscience, and this is, you know, we were talking about listening to podcasts as you drive and,
right.
and all kinds of stuff. And you can drive to Memphis to go film Bluff City
sure.
and you can kill a couple of podcasts.
Yes.
Well, one thing that I think is really important, and I don't know how to work this into teaching actors or helping them, but they were talking about, and this has been a common theme, when you, and forgive me if you know this, but there's probably somebody who doesn't. So the first like 7 years of your life,
yep.
and once again, I'm not a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just explaining. I try to hear something and see if I can re-explain it. The first 7 years of your life, your brain is recording. It's like a tape deck, and you've just pressed record, and all it does is record
mm-hmm.
everything around you. Your interactions with people
mm-hmm.
and it records the feelings that you have
mm-hmm.
and things that someone says to you. So if someone says, don't cry unless there's something to cry about, or I'll give you something to cry about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember hearing
oh, yeah.
that phrase as a kid, or hearing the phrase, if you didn't work hard for it, it's not worth having.
Right.
Hearing the phrase, starving artist. Hearing these triumphant stories of, oh yeah, you know, I remember having $3 in my wallet and I was living in the backseat of my car and then I made it, or, you know, whatever you hear, or maybe you hear something like you're going to hell, or you experience punishment in certain ways, or maybe you got complimented and it overwhelmed you. So those first 7 years, you're just recording. That's all it is. And the brain operates in what they call theta. All right. So it's just receiving information. Now, as you start to get a little older and you turn 8 or so, and I don't know the specific amount of time, then you stop recording and you take your finger off the record and then you just hit play. And that plays in your mind and helps you figure out everything and every decision that you're going to make for the rest of your life. So when I started back working with adults again. I like working with beginners
mm-hmm.
Definitely that intermediate level. Intermediate actors seem to kind of know what to do, but they don't know how to make it work when the time is right. They know the answers. They just don't know how to effectively put it into place. We're so non-traditional, man, at our studio. Like, if you came in, you'd be like, what the hell are you doing at this acting place?
Probably love it.
It's so odd. I don't even know what we do anymore. I don't know what we do, to be quite honest. And I've rewritten the bio about our studio because I have to just keep writing non-traditional. And then one time I wrote and put it all in all caps, non-traditional acting studio. So I'm interested in working with adults. What did you experience in those first 7 years of your life that's preventing you from having fun as an actor?
Right.
What tape deck is playing in your mind right now? Now, here's the good news. You want to know the good news?
Please.
Okay. The good news is your brain records 2 times. If I get the science right on
mm-hmm.
this, if I get the science right, I apologize if I don't. Your brain actually goes into theta. That recording phase 2 times while you are in a 24-hour period.
Mm-hmm.
And that is right as you drift from being awake to falling asleep. That moment where you don't really know if you're awake or asleep. Have you ever had that moment where you're watching TV or listening to a song and all of a sudden you start to dream and that song or that show is in it?
Yep.
That's theta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's where it's happening. It also happens when you wake up. So if you're alarm clock, who has an alarm clock these days? Whatever. Who does that?
1989.
Drew, of course, you're 40. Great, got it. Or like if a song, you know, I used to set my alarm clock when I was a kid to like the adult hits, you know.
Yes.
Like, you know, and then, something would start playing. Michael Bolton would start playing, or, you know, Phil Collins would start playing, you know.
Perfect.
Whitney Houston, I'm Every Woman would start playing, you know, and you can have a dream and you're kind of like awake, but you're not, and you're hearing that. So that's the theta. And so there's been a lot of research, according to neuroscience, that if you proactively monitor your thoughts as you start to fall asleep or as you're starting to wake up and you recognize that, the thing that you start to tell yourself or feel in that very shortened time period rewrites the tape player that was recording from the first 7 years of your life. So what if you fell asleep? What if you fell asleep with, I don't want to say daydreaming, but kind of daydreaming. What if you fell asleep daydreaming and gave yourself permission to feel really successful as an actor? And this sounds like hokey stuff, but but it is scientifically, you know, there's a lot of things science that they're talking about. But what if you fell asleep seeing yourself on set? You know, they used to tell athletes, watch the ball go in the hoop before you shoot the free throw.
Yep.
What if you did that as an actor? What if we did that? I don't know if that's really going to work. I've been trying that. You know, you can find things on YouTube, theta training. You know, I don't know if that's going to work, but I've been very interested in knowing for our actors, what beliefs do you have that are preventing you from telling this character's story?
Right.
Because if you can find fulfillment in telling the story, you don't need to book it. Now, my ultimate goal is this. So here's what I'm working towards. Okay. And maybe you want to as well. Let's get to a point where we don't need the booking anymore. Let's not have the booking define us any longer.
Right.
How about let's get so jacked up about summer camp and all the wonderful things that you currently have right now that we don't need to say some words on a piece of paper to make us complete anymore. What if the fact that you are exactly who you are is enough? Because it is enough who you are.
Right.
You are enough. You are more than enough. You have everything you've ever needed. It's all in here and in here. I'm pointing to my head and my heart. It's already there. You have all of the answers to be whatever it is you want. So, abruptly, and then done. And sane. Oh, glad we're not talking about that BS anymore. Oh, give me my squeaky toy to deal with my anxiety. Man. Where did we go with that? Man, you got to be careful of me. I'm a loose cannon.
Yeah, I don't know about this wee shit.
I rudely stole your entire show.
Are you kidding me? This is one of the most amazing conversations.
We're supposed to talk about horror stories or...
This might be the first interview that I don't edit and just go, here it is.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Because, I mean, wow. Seriously, you have blown my mind. If for no other reason than... You went on a rant for the past 50 minutes.
I know.
But about the exact thing that fills my brain, thoughts, neuroses, anxiety on a daily basis.
Mm.
On a daily basis. So, if nothing else, I think you and I were supposed to meet at some point.
You better believe it.
We were destined to meet at some point.
It was easy. Because I care what other people think and I'm working towards improving that. I do feel bad. Like I might have neglected the concept of the show.
There is no concept of the show. The concept is you.
People need to hear that. First off, it's okay wherever you are and whatever you're feeling. That is okay. The hardest part is when an actor says, man, I feel really defeated and I want to feel... you know, like a superstar. That's impossible.
Or just really inspired hard. Or motivated.
Hard, man. If the table that we're at, if on the left side of the table is you feeling defeated and limited.
Right.
And on this side is you feeling abundance with a plethora of series regulars.
Sure.
Opportunities being handed to you with ease. This is a big gap going from the left side of my hand to the right side of my hand.
Right.
But so all we can do is what's better than feeling limited and defeated? Is feeling just bitter? Is that a little bit better? Because if that is, then your soul just got a little bit of pressure taken off of.
Right.
So I try to ask actors, stop going from, you know, 0 to 100. Can we just go from 0 to 2 today?
Right.
Maybe that's all you need to do.
Right.
Tomorrow we'll go 2 to 7.
Sure.
And then 7 to 15, and 15 to 34, and then 34 to 90, and then But you got to build momentum in being successful.
Absolutely.
But I think momentum maybe starts in the heart and in the head. It doesn't. So many actors come to me and they talk about how hard they prepared for a role. And I've never had someone in our studio in the last like five or six years book by defining and protesting how hard they worked at a role. We have only the highest $250,000 roles that have been booked out of our studio came from people that had either not a care in the world about attaining it, or they were just so happy to be able to, you know what, I'm doing this audition for somebody else. This character reminds me of a person I knew in middle school, and you know what, they didn't really have a voice, and I'm going to give them a voice today. And just you, the cameraman, and me, we're the only two that are going to see it.
That's
and
right.
That's okay.
That's right.
And that's a really great place to be at. Man, if you got to that place, not you, but you, plural, the aesthetist or whatever. Man, if that happened, we would be in such high demand. If we could get to that point where I don't have to, you know, I can tell when people are like, oh, send me a copy of that audition so I can watch it and critique it. You're not booking it.
Yeah,
you're
no.
not going to book.
No. No.
You're not booking it. You're holding on to it. You're too desperate.
And I mean, I have been in those places at times. The hardest thing has been to be able to hold on to it because, like, you know, you alluded to earlier, and I've talked about it a number of times in a number of interviews. There's so often where we hear about the number of competition, the level of competition, all the other submissions, and what your, you know, the percentage of you standing out amongst the sea of others, you know. It can easily defeat you. It can easily bring you down. So for me, it's trying to get to that place where it's like, I'm not doing this for you.
Yeah.
The decider, the decision maker.
Yeah.
You know, you're absolutely right. And for me, it's just like, again, all the other responsibilities that come along with being an adult, it's a hard balance.
Yeah.
It's a hard balance when you know I've got to pay the mortgage and I've got to do this and I've got to cover this and we've got to plan for the future and I need to make sure that I've got, you know, this set aside for retirement because I don't want to, because it could all go away in a second, or you never know when the next one is going to come. Is it ever going to come? And so it's easy to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, and the desperation seeps in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, trying to hold on to that, I'm doing this for the joy for me.
You know, My wife and I make jokes about it. I always tell her I'm a performer and she's an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're,
yes,
you know, those
I
are two
that.
Different things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, gosh, there's, and I say that because I'm having to ask myself, why do you like acting so much? Why? Not how are you going to make it.
Right.
That leads us down a bad path.
Mm-hmm.
When's the audition coming? Ooh, that takes us from that 100 on the right scale of the table. It just drops that number down. When is something coming? How's it going to happen? What can I do today? Actors will say, Drew, what's something I could be doing today to advance my career?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just took 5 steps back by asking that question. That is a bold concept. Very few people will be able to hear what I just said with that. It will not resonate with them because they have the dogma of, yes, what did you do today for it? Let me tell you what you could have done today. If you have somebody that asks that question, you could daydream about a role that would be inspiring for you. You could daydream about what you would do with that fame that could uplift somebody else. You could probably find in your script, what's something new that I could do in this script that would give me fulfillment? Who can I dedicate this performance to? You know, you could probably do all of those kind. Those would probably be way, way better things. And when you think about those things, I believe you'll be inspired in how to prepare properly for a role. Mm-hmm. But it has to be way. This just can't be. So to be successful in acting, your choices can't be about being an actor.
I know.
Isn't that crazy? It has to be so much deeper. I'm more concerned when people want to train with, explain to me why you like acting other than how are you going to make it? Because all those series regulars that came out of our studio this year, none of them were thinking of how to get it.
Right.
Homegirl didn't even have an audition. It was her first audition. You know what I mean? She didn't even know. She didn't even know. Like, they don't even know how to screw up their process.
Right.
She didn't even know it. Wow. They just knew I love expressing mm-hmm. myself. Well, you know, I love doing this. And let me practice. I love listening. And I love being still. And I love... Yeah, they had so many other loves instead of the process.
Right.
Yeah, screw the process. You can be summoned to greatness from wherever you are. You absolutely can. Now, convincing myself that is another thing.
Jesus.
All right, man.
I have an awful lot to think about now, Drew Matthews, yeah. now that we've had this one-hour conversation.
Oh, no.
And I am.
I don't know. Where
I'm blown away. This is fantastic. You are a really, really amazing, interesting person.
Thanks,
you
man.
You really, really are. And I think I'm going to have you back sometime to talk about you.
You
no, we did talk about it.
Well,
we talked about it a lot.
Right.
We'll talk about your own personal experiences. But I don't know. This is...
Well, maybe this was... You know, I set my intention when I was in the car and I pulled in your driveway. My intention was, how can I add value to somebody listening? So I tried to verbalize my intention before I walk in, so my fear and nerves or anxiety mm-hmm. doesn't take over. So I have to set that intention first, or my stage fright will, my old self will start to creep up. So.
Well, I was certainly listening, and I think you've added value to me.
Oh, good.
And
thanks.
I cannot thank you enough for coming down and doing this with me.
Thanks,
this has been You May Have Seen with Drew Matthews. Thanks so much for listening. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And if you'd like to leave a comment or review, that's always nice. You can also email us at youmayhaveseen@gmail.com if you have a comment or a question, and we'll give you a shout-out in the next episode.